We can start. Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our normal Tuesday class, 2nd of June, 2020. We will be continuing with our Heart Sutta, lesson 16, part 3, page 91. So before we start, we will have our usual puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Okay. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Milapho. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Dizangwang Pusa. Namo Dizangwang Pusa. Namo Dizangwang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Usavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajama. Padang Pajami. Damang Pujay. Sanghang Pujay. Okay, you can be seated. We'll have our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation before we start our class. Okay, I will set the alarm so that you can have half an hour of this silent awareness meditation. Then after that, when the alarm goes off, I will ring the bell 3 times. When you hear the bell, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So meditation is as usual. Huh? Always remind yourself what is meditation is very important. The focus should be on the understanding of what you are doing in the name of meditation. You understand that to meditate, you need to train your mind to be heedful. Because the Buddha emphasized many times, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if they. So heedfulness is the first training. To be heedful, there are 2 parts, ever mindful or constantly meditative. So to develop that, we need to first train our mind to be mindful first. Then when we stabilize it, it will become ever mindful. This training is very easy when you understand. Without the spiritual faculties, the mental hindrance will be there according to the Buddha. So people cannot meditate is because they don't have spiritual faculty developed and they are not stable. And because of that, the mental hindrance make them heedless, think a lot. So when they are confronted with those problems, they don't know how to handle meditation. That's the reason why everybody, the traditional teaching, they always try to teach you to meditate according to method and technique or object of meditation, not knowing the reason why. The reason why they need a method and a technique or object of meditation is they cannot keep the mind peaceful or quiet. They need something to anchor the mind, either for them to focus or to concentrate. Yeah. But the Buddha came out with a very good answer. He said, you don't have to focus, you don't have to concentrate. You only have to be mindful, aware, silent. That's the reason why he teaches Anapanasati as a training to train your mind to be mindful of your in and out breath, then stabilize it. That is the first category of cultivation under Kayanupassana. So those who use method and technique, you have to be careful. Huh? Because unless they have the understanding to explain to you that the method and technique are not meditation. They are only skillful means to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware. So don't go and focus, concentrate, and verbalize. Just relax, maintain awareness, and allow the thought to settle down until you can realize the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. And that's what meditation is all about. That's why we just relax, maintain awareness for as long as we can, which is the third support, 24 hours. Then finally is when you already develop the ability to feel the silent mind, when you are in the state of ever mindful, you can then relax body and mind and silence your mind to locate your gateway to your nature. And to do that, you need to have the silent mind. That's how you need to train. And when you have trained, Then you silence your mind around your heart area. It will locate by itself. Then you don't do anything. You just trust that nature to move. The movement is natural. Initially, when you located it, that true mind will be able to be with it. And when it's with it, it will draw whatever yin yang energy. Then it will melt inside there to become pure energy. Yeah. But this fourth support, trust, you don't do if you are just cultivating for sainthood way. But if you want to go the bodhisattva way, you need to do that fourth support. Anyway, after explaining this, you will understand. When mindfulness is developed, continue to stabilize it until the mindfulness become completely tranquil and still, until your true mind manifests. Then when that thing happens, it means your mind enters the deep. Then you will be ever mindful. Then you will understand many things. Then you use that mind to meditate. That's what meditation is. So I repeat, relax body and mind, maintain awareness, that's it. Posture can be any, whether you are sitting on a chair or a couch or lying down on a floor or sitting on a floor, it's up to you. The key is relax both body and mind, then just maintain awareness, don't do anything. Don't even try to know, let the mind settle down. Then experience the quietness, the peacefulness, the silence. When there is no thought, who are you? What is that nature that is aware? The awareness nature that doesn't think. Find out for yourself. Okay, we are off the line. Then we will start the half an hour meditation. Okay. Yeah, I can slowly, mindfully come out the meditation. Always remember, whatever mind state that you have developed through this training, you have to maintain them for as long as you can. Whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or inner mindfulness that you have developed, stabilize them, then maintain them for as long as you can. These are the mind state that we need to develop the daily mindfulness so that it can help us to develop the state of awareness or mindfulness leading to heedfulness in the midst of life. Okay. Then we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja carana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabo Venohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Adidam chattari purisayukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahoneyo pahoneyo dakkhineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttaram punyaketam lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. You can visit it and just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Eh? We will continue from page 91 of the Sutta book. Lesson 16, eh? Part 3. Find ways to overcome unwholesome thought or mind state. When one encounters adversity with situation or problem in life without wisdom, the key word is without wisdom. If you have wisdom, you will know how to remain peaceful, aware, silent, and you will know what to do. You will know how to act. But without wisdom, that is where the problem is. The mind will stop the condition of the thought. Okay, it's the sound system again. You know why every time at the beginning we have this problem? Okay, we reset the speaker. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Is it okay? Okay, good. So I will have to repeat again. as usual. Page 91 of the Heart Sutta, second edition. We are at lesson 60, part 3, 3.1. Five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. So according to the Buddha, when we encounter adversity without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition our unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. So this is very common, eh? Because as you go through life, you will encounter situation and sense experience. So at every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste or tactile, feel something or think of something, then if you don't have the wisdom, your mind will react and stir, leading to all the dualities. The duality means the sensual desire, the ill will, the like and dislike, the pleasant and the unpleasant sensation, and the aversion towards things, or craving, desire towards things. So if your mind develops that reaction and stir, then unwholesome thought will arise because you lack wisdom, you lack understanding. Then this unwholesome thought normally comes along with emotion, like aversion, anger, dislike, unhappiness, or fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, or insecurity, phobia, and all those things. So these are the mind state that arise. So most of the time it's either anger, envy or jealousy or even fear. So according to the Buddha, when this type of mind state or emotion arise, these are called the wrong thought, unwholesome thought, thought that can condition our suffering, our misery. That's the reason why we need to abandon them. So how do we abandon them? There are five ways to do it, according to the Buddha. So the first way is to think of the direct opposite, wholesome mind state. For example, if there is anger, then you should develop metta or universal love. And if there is cruelty, then you should develop compassion. And if there is fear, you should develop faith, sadha. So all these are skillful means, but it's still thought-based. That's why the word think is there. So when you have wholesome thought, like metta, loving-kindness, generosity, gratitude, respect, sincerity, etc. These are wholesome mind state. There is no negativity. Then there is no evil roots behind. So that's how you are able to overcome it. So to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought will allow you to initially overcome whatever negativity or mind state that you have. But this first way is not so useful in the sense that every time you have this problem, then you need to either sit down one corner or you need to radiate this opposite wholesome thought. Yeah. So in a sense, this is not so appropriate or useful. Then the Buddha said, if the first way doesn't help you or you cannot find much benefits from it, then you should move on to the second way. The second way is more impactful and more useful. He said we should contemplate, reflect, and think of the consequence of holding on to the unwholesome thought or the emotion that has the evil roots. If you do not abandon it, then the evil roots, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. That's how you create negativity or karma leading to downfall. For example, anger. Anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. So this is the danger. So when you start to reflect on this, then you tell yourself, my life, I don't want to end up this way because I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely my choice. So I choose to be happy. I choose to have a wholesome mind state that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you reflect and contemplate and you develop the understanding, then you will determine to abandon this unwholesome thought. Then he teaches you the third way. You move on to the third way, he said. Once you have done the second way, means you see the danger of not abandoning it, of the danger of holding on to that wrong thought, unwholesome thought. So when you see the danger, you say you will diligently move on to meditate, which is the third way. The third way is just meditation, exactly like what I teach you. Just relax and let things be. This is the meditative way. Develop your understanding that the natural states of mind before the stirring or the reaction is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and silent inner awareness, and that the very flowering of the unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought. So if you don't give it any more fuel or meaning, yeah, or thought, energy, then it will not proliferate. The mind, which is basically the mundane mind, which doesn't have the right view and the wisdom, they become heedless, they think a lot. So this proliferation of thought need mental energy born of ignorance and delusion to support them. So if you have the understanding, you just relax, maintain awareness, and let things be. Let things be means don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to arise any thought. Yes, you are trying to relax, maintain awareness to realize your true mind. Your true mind is the original state of mind before your mind stir or react. So when you understand that, then meditation becomes very easy. To meditate is just to relax, silent, maintain awareness, and just allow the mundane mind to slow down and finally settle down and become very quiet and very still. Without thought, you are the original mind. You are already peaceful, aware, tranquil, and still within. The reason why you are not able to be in that meditative state is because you have mental hindrance. And the reason for the mental hindrance are you lack spiritual faculties. So spiritual faculties are very important. Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Develop them. Stabilize them. Then you are constantly in a meditative state. Because the five spiritual faculties, if you look at them, they are all beautiful mind state. Without the evil roots, without the hindrance. They are just faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When you have faith, your mind is very calm, very composed, and very stable. Means there is no more doubt, no more restlessness of mind. Then this faith, born of understanding who the Buddha is, how wise and virtuous a being he is, and how beautiful his teaching is, will allow you to develop the great respect and gratitude towards the Buddha. Then when you see the importance of cultivating his teaching, developing the understanding of his Dhamma teaching, then you will go all out to cultivate them. So that will give rise to the second spiritual faculty of Virya. Virya is the tenacity to go this way through understanding. So Saddha and Virya are very beautiful mind state. When you have Virya, you cannot be sleepy. There will be no sloth and torpor, lethargic mind, and all those things. Then when you go all out to cultivate, you will develop sati. That's why the first thing in meditation is to develop sati, to cultivate the mind, to develop this mindfulness and stabilize it. The mundane mind needs to be trained. The true mind doesn't need to be trained. The true mind is already there all the time. But the true mind is the one that is responsible for the arising of the mundane mind. So through ignorance, through lack of understanding, through lack of spiritual faculties, the untrained mind becomes heedless. That's how living beings' mind cannot be peaceful. cannot be in the meditative state. That's the reason why all those negativity of mind state, the Buddha call it the mental hindrance, because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. So this third way is the most beautiful when you have the understanding. The spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya leading to Sati, will enable your mind to be just quiet, peaceful, and just aware. When you are in Sati, you are incapable of thinking. There is no thought. When there is no thought, your natural state of mind, which is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, they will appear naturally. That's why the moment you are mindful without thought, you are already in the meditative state. That's the reason why mindfulness is so important. When you are mindful, you are sensitive. When you are aware, you can see things as they are clearly. That is what meditation is all about. So the third way is just to develop the sati. When you relax and let things be, maintain awareness, then this mind will settle down. Then whatever anger, emotion, or unwholesome thought, they will dissipate. Dissipate means because they are conditioned arising, cause of phenomenon. So when you're silent and don't do anything, then you can see that emotion dissipate its energy. So once the energy that maintain the anger is no more, then it ceases to be. Then you will come to a great awakening or understanding from that third way, that anger was never you. Fear was never you. All this unwholesome state of mind, negativity of emotion, wrong thought, was never you. If they were not you, then you don't have a problem. You only need to understand that. Because before you get angry, there was no anger. Before there is fear, there was no fear. So how did they arise? You move on to the fourth way, you will understand. That's why the Buddha said, the fourth way is to trace the origination factor and then retrospectively reverse them. We are the cultivation of mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhamma Nupassana. That is, we are cultivating mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. This is to develop the wisdom to free the mind. So under this training, the Buddha said, when you are mindful and aware, then you can develop this fourth way. You ask yourself, before I get angry, there was no anger. Before that fear arise, there was no fear. Then how did it arise? You have to find out. Trace the origination factor. Then when you develop the mindfulness of the sense bases, you will see them clearly. Because when you are mindful of your internal sense bases, then how upon contact of mind and the external sense data, the respective consciousness come to be. Then how through wrong view you input the content of consciousness, then you stir your mind. You get angry. You become fearful. You become emotional. You will see all this. That's the reason why mindfulness is so important. Mindfulness is so potent. When you are mindful, you are aware, you are sensitive, you can see how you function as a human being, as a living being. Then when you start to understand how you stir your mind, how you react, how you get angry, how you become emotional, how you arise the evil root, then you will know how to deal with it. So after you have developed enough of this training of daily mindfulness and the stability of mindfulness in the form of meditation, then you keep on observing all this movement, activity of mind. You keep on understanding how you become what you are, what caused you to be deluded, what caused you to be emotional, angry, fearful, insecure. So all this is wisdom. And to have wisdom, you must have mindfulness to see, to understand. Then you will come to a very penetrative understanding later on. If it's not because of the wrong view, your mind will not stir. So what you need is to develop the straightening of the view. To develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, through constant listening to the Dhamma, reflection, contemplation after your meditation. Where you see it in your meditation, then you reflect, you condemn it. Just now, why did you do that? How did you do that? Then you realize all this movement and activity is born of your memory. Your mundane mind is so conditioned. And what is memory? Accumulation of experiences, good and bad. All of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, religious labor, the accumulated fear, insecurity, phobia, whatever that you experience in life, you accumulate. And when you accumulate, they enter your memory. That's why accumulation is the cause of suffering. Accumulation leads to craving, desire, delusion. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. You will start to see that. Because before there is wisdom, memory is always the conditioned mind, the egoic mind, the deluded mind. So it's full of all the rubbish. Your fear, your insecurity, your selfishness, your desire, your phobia, your insecurity, everything is within that memory, that conditioning. That's why your memory is the bundle of memory, or they call it that collective thing, which we call your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, your belief system, and all these things. So all this mold you. And when you see all this very clearly, then you realize that human being is not what you think you are. That human being is the result of all the conditioning, the views, opinion, and belief system that molded you and make you do all those things. Then when you start to understand all these things, you will have the answer to the problem. You inquire and reflect. If that is the case, what must I do? When I saw that, I awakened. Then I developed the wisdom to straighten my view. Then how can I not react, not to stir my mind, not to arise the evil root, the anger, the insecurity, the fear? I need wisdom. So wisdom can arise when you check the teaching. You ask yourself, what did the Buddha actually taught us to develop wisdom? He always used this word. You have to develop the sati, the mindfulness, to see things as they are clearly. Not to see things according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, what your mundane mind tell you, what your memory interpret to you. So to see things as they are means you silent without word, the direct seeing that leads to the awakening. Then you realize before the words come out, before the perception, there is just the awareness that is aware. There is no one to see. There is no delusion. There is no entanglement. There is no egoic mind. That's how you're free. Then when you understand that, you already have the wisdom, because you can trace the origination factor of this anger, fear, and unwholesome state. Then now, you develop the straightening of the view to reverse all this retrospectively reverse this. So how not to react? Like the Buddha said, we learn to see things as they are. We learn to accept the reality of the moment. When condition is like that, things will be like that. Then like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So when I reflect deep enough, then I understand this is what the teaching is. According to the Buddha, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. There is no God behind. There is no special being behind. Everything is natural, naturally arising, depending on condition. That's why our world is a conditioned world, dependent, originating world. So this is the understanding that the Buddha wants us to develop. So if I have this understanding, then I tell myself, thing is just the way it is, all the time, no matter what happens. Because condition already set. The nature will flow in accordance with nature's law, following whatever condition that has been established. So it means the reality of the moment is already set. You can't change. So every moment of sense experience, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So I have to accept this reality first. So to accept this reality, my nature has come out with the understanding on my own. I came to realize people are just the way they are. Because I realize human beings sometimes get angry, emotional, or fearful because when they see somebody they don't like, or when they see somebody that has problem, which they cannot come to terms with, especially the first noble truth reality. When you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation and all those things, when you cannot get what you want. So all this bring about suffering. So I came out with this understanding. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. So when we can have wisdom, this type of right view and right understanding to accept the reality of the moment, then we are at peace. Then we will not have problem that the mundane mind create. The mundane mind usually blame people. That guy make me angry. That guy did all these things, make me miserable, fearful, and all those things. So all this is the egoic mind through self-delusion, trying to blame. But when you have the wisdom and the understanding, you look at it. He's just the way he is. Being deluded, he will do deluded thing. Being selfish, he will do selfish thing. That's why angry people do angry thing. Selfish people do selfish thing. Deluded people do deluded thing. So when you can have this understanding, no matter who you meet in life, you are always at peace. Because you can accept him for what he is. And he is the way he is. People are just the way they are. Then when condition has already evolved, you can also be at peace, like COVID-19 or currency crisis or whatever crisis. You can accept the reality of the moment because, like the Buddha say, the world is the world. Condition already said, things is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you will suffer. So when I can accept the reality of the moment through this type of wisdom, then I don't have a problem. Then I can act. So meditation is to develop the wisdom born of the third and fourth way to help you awaken. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with every moment of sense experience. That's how Panya liberates the mind, nothing else. So when you can do that, you already have the ability to transform your mind. That's how the step four and step five of Avijja Sutta comes to be. So when you contemplate, reflect, and develop the mindfulness of the internal sense basis and the external sense basis, you start to see all this movement, activity, reaction of maya. Then you start to understand the law of dependent origination, condition arising, cause of the normal. Then you start to understand how things come to be and how things develop, proliferate, and become affliction. You will see all this. Then through understanding, you can reverse them. That's the reason why the third way and the fourth way is very powerful. They are really wisdom way, give you great wisdom awakening. So I remember during the early day, the first thing that I break free was anger. When there was agitation, when there was this reaction and stirring during the early day, then I realized I don't have to suppress the anger. I don't have to control the anger. I don't have to do anything about the anger. Then I remember the Buddha's teaching, the third way. Then I just be with it. When the anger move and develop, then I just silence my mind, maintain awareness, relax into it, and be with it. Find out for yourself. Do it. When you can do that, you will awaken. Fear is the same. Whatever emotion, insecurity, when it arises, aware, silence your mind, be with it, and see how the cessation happens. Here, cessation means the cessation of the emotion, the anger, or that fear. Because when you don't give it any more negative thought energy, it will cease to be. Because you are just aware. That's the reason why mindfulness or awareness is a very powerful, purifying mind state. It is capable of purifying the negative mind state. It can root out all this wrong thought, evil thought. We are understanding, no need to do anything. Be with it, aware. Relax, aware. Maintain awareness. Let things be. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. The doing is always by the thought. Who wants to know? The thought wants to know. And what is that knowing? Knowledge. This is not wisdom. So don't ever do those things. When you meditate, relax, maintain awareness, and let the silent mind awaken, develop the understanding. But that silent mind that is so stable and just aware will be able to observe clearly. Then when you can observe clearly, that's why you need mindfulness, awareness. You have to be attentive without thought. Then that direct seeing will awaken your nature. Then you will understand. No wonder living being get entangled. No wonder living being cannot develop the understanding to free. Well, they think a lot. They are clouded by the thought, by the wrong view, by the delusion. That's how suffering comes to be, affliction comes to be. So all this, when you start to see them in the meditation, in the daily mindfulness, when you have the stability of sati, you will awaken. You will develop the understanding. And this is how the Buddha's teaching can be very powerful, very potent. So now we finish with the fourth way. Here we'll go to the fifth way. Actually, the fifth way for me is not important or not useful. We are according to the Buddha, he said, if all the above four ways he has taught you also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by him. That is, with clenched teeth and your tongue towards your palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the negative, unwholesome thought. Means use your willpower. But this willpower without wisdom, no use. Miss, no matter how, you have to abandon it. But it's not easy. You will be wasting a lot of time. So the third and the fourth way is still the most useful, most appropriate. Okay, 3.2. Is it all right to indulge in positive thought during formal sitting meditation? This is a very common question. A lot of people tend to ask this question because they don't know what is meditation. So to them, they think instead of becoming miserable, sitting down there, cannot do anything, then with the heedless thinking and the wild mundane mind running all over the places, developing all the mental hindrance, the restlessness, the suffering state within. So they come up with this technique. They say, is it all right for me to indulge in positive thought? It depends on what you do, but most of the time it's of not much use. If you haven't have the understanding, then maybe for certain people it may help. Because normally they develop metta first, they radiate metta to calm their mind down, to develop the wholesome state of mind. Then they start with themselves, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. It will calm you down. Then you slowly radiate this metta out to your loved one, to all beings within your vicinity, within your house and surrounding, then all beings within the whole of your the locality where you stay. It can be a village or a town or a city or a suburb. It depends. So this will generate some form of calmness of mind, wholesome mind state like metta, where you are wishing well-being and happiness to yourself and to others, is of course better than heedless thinking. But this is not meditation. Please understand that. Then there is also another one, which is auto-suggestion. If you may recall, during the early days, I remember, this TM meditation, they call transcendental meditation, become very popular at one time. But then as popular as it used to become, equally fast it disappeared, because that is not the real meditation. So at one time, people find it so difficult to train their mind, to make their mind peaceful. So they go for this TM meditation. You know what is TM in a transcendental meditation? Transcendental means they transcend the mundane frequency of meditation. That's why they divide your mind state, vibration, wave, into alpha, beta, theta, and all the more and more refined wavelength. So they say they will let you listen to some audio recording. And most of the time it's with very nice music, very soothing music, to auto-suggest to you that you are now in a very quiet locality, very tranquil setting. And the music, the vibration, the nature's vibration, like running water, chipping of the birds, it makes you peaceful. It auto-suggests to you. Then he said, you are now in the alpha state of mind. Then later on, as they auto suggest deeper, you are in the beta state of mind. Then they go further until you become very quiet and very still. Then you say you are in the theta vibration. So this transcendental meditation is to develop of those suggestions. But initially, maybe it's useful, helpful. But this one is like drug in a certain sense. You are dependent on it. Then after a while, like good food, after a while, it may not work anymore. And I was told nowadays in Japan, after office, if you are very hectic, after your lunch break or whatever you have time, or sometimes they straight away go into this, like a cafe, like that, you know, where they put you into this resting chair, then they like off the light, everything, then put the recording, auto-suggest, to actually let you go through nice moments, that you experience that peace, that joy, that the beautiful music and all that. Oh, then they feel that it calms them down. The auto-suggestion is very, very helpful. That's why people pay money to develop that calm state of mind and to develop the ability to be peaceful, even for a short moment. But they realize they help them to reduce their stress level, their whatever restlessness of mind, agitation within their work environment. Okay, now I will read to you what I replied. Then you will understand better. My answer is not to do it. I said not advisable. But it is like trying to create memories for a good state of happy mind moments, which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for these happy mind states. Whereas radiating loving kindness or metta, like I mentioned just now, is different. There is not thinking, it's from the heart, with the pure feeling of true metta. You are silent and you radiate that peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. So this loving kindness meditation is much better than auto-suggestion. Then when you are in a sitting posture during the formal meditation training, try not to do that, because that is not meditation. Because it will not bring about the bhavana maya panya, the meditative wisdom born of the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. During the formal sitting, your main focus is to initially train your mind or tame the mind, the heedless thinking mind, into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then after it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within our own formal mind, so as to develop the third turning, direct seeing wisdom as taught by the Buddha. So this one I already explained to you just now, the third way and the fourth way. So when there is mindfulness, awareness, when you have developed the stability of it, then you can see all this happening. The silent mind can observe without thought and come to understand all this movement. Then you will know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human, and how you are conditioned into the various type of negativity of mind state. How fear arises, how anger arises, how emotion arises, how you become violent, lustful, fearful, miserable. So all this is in the teaching. So when you are relaxed and aware within, then you can have the ability to understand all this. And this is what meditation is all about. So meditation is not about focusing, concentrating, noting, and doing all the funny thing. It is just to train the mind to be heedful, to be aware. And to be heedful, you need to be mindful. Stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is to cultivate noble eightfold path. Until you have the understanding and the embodiment of all the noble eightfold path factors that will make you noble ones. That's how you transform and become enlightened. Okay, I'll read on. Understand that the first and second turning wisdom are less penetrating than the third turning wisdom, which is born of the direct seeing or the awakening. Hence, the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training and silent, relaxed, contemplative session and moment. Here, what I try to advise is try not to do it in the formal meditation unless you have developed the understanding, the stability of wisdom and skill in contemplation and reflection. Then in the formal meditation, you can also do it. But most of the time, the formal meditation, you don't do it. If you do it, it will end up becoming habitual and you will continue to like chatter inside there. And it's very difficult for your mind to silence, to develop the stability of mindfulness, awareness within. And it's very difficult for your mind to enter sati. So it's better when you come out of it than reflect and contemplate. But if you have developed your ability to do it, you already have some form of wisdom, quite stable, then it's up to you. Yeah? Up to you. Yeah? You can really develop it. Yeah? I remember at times, after I have the understanding and all those things, like in the meditation, the formal meditation, suddenly something arises. Through the direct seeing, through insight, this nature develops the awakening and the understanding. Then straight away it reflects, contemplates, and it understands. And there was so much joy. That thing can happen. But before you have that wisdom, understanding, and the skill, try not to do it. Stabilize your mind until that awareness, that mindfulness is very stable. Until your mind enters sati. Until you can realize that true nature, the self-awareness nature within, very clear. Until you can illuminate that nature and understand clearly what that true mind is, what the awareness nature is. Then you will develop a lot of wisdom after that. When you understand that nature, you will stay with that nature. But that is the meditative mind. That is the awareness nature within. So when you are there, you don't think. You are heedful. You are mindful. And when the stability comes, you are ever mindful. Then you can be there all the time. That is what meditation is all about. So, realize it, understand it, until very, very clear. Until you can see the two mind very clearly. The mundane mind is the dependent originating, arising from that self nature. Because we have the senses upon contact. The sense data together with the consciousness and the sense basis. These three, when they come into contact, it trigger off consciousness automatically, like the physics experiment, the light bulb light up. The lighting up is like your conscious moment. At the moment of seeing consciousness, it's just the consciousness. No one is seeing. At the moment of hearing, it's just the hearing consciousness. No one is hearing. So that pure consciousness before the content went in, see it with your silent mind, the stability of silent mind or the meditative mind. If you don't have that stability of daily mindfulness, if you are not ever mindful, you cannot see, you cannot understand. That's the reason why meditation is about mindfulness, awareness. Not about the thought, not about the knowledge. So this will complete this section. Have I finished? Finished, huh? Okay. So we will move on to the next chapter. Chapter 17, or lesson 17. Heart Sutta class. This one is dated 24th of June, 2012. Oh, about 7 over years ago, almost 8 years. We are also June, by beginning of June. Okay, 1.1, direct seeing. Direct seeing refer to the silent mind in pure awareness, to see things as they are, without any thought, to arise the third turning wisdom. This is what we call Bhavana Maya Panya. Means Panya, born of Bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training. When you are silent and just aware, you are in the meditative state. And this is what Hui Ning's teaching is all about. Wu Nian, no thought. The first hallmark of his teaching is not to have any thought. Without thought, you already aware. So awareness is to develop the stability of mind that is not thinking. That is what meditation is all about. That's why we just relax and maintain awareness until that awareness stabilizes. So without that stability of daily mindfulness, you cannot have the direct seeing. You are incapable of seeing things as they are. So this understanding is very important. What is direct seeing? Means to see things as they are with a silent mind, without thought. So direct seeing refers to the silent mind in pure awareness, to see things as they are, without any thought, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature, and also to give rise to the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. If you have wisdom, the five aggregates of form and mind will not be a problem. Because they will be non-grasping aggregate. Then reversing the light of awareness to shine within, to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, or sati sampajana, is very important. So this one is the most important. Reversing the light means the awareness must be aware of all your internal movement, your form and mind, to see clearly how you function as a human being. How the form and mind, through its senses and its consciousness trapped inside, function. Then how the sense data come in, the trigger of the respective sense or consciousness. See them in the meditation, understand them. Not knowledge, not words, not using thought or idea. Silence your mind and witness it without word. Experience them. You try it, it's very different. Every moment of seeing, hearing without the thought is very different. It's just the awareness nature that is aware. The word hasn't come in. The concept, the idea hasn't come in. The mundane mind hasn't arisen. Find out. That is meditation. Develop it, then you will understand. So reversing the light of awareness to shine within is very important. Then from inside, you are aware of whatever that arises. Could be outside thing or inner movement. So this awareness within is very important. When you are aware within, you are not lost in thought. Otherwise, you will be lost in thought. So when you are aware within, you can be mindful of whatever movement or phenomenon or activity that is going on. So that is how you cultivate daily mindfulness. From inner awareness, you develop the outer awareness. Then the inner awareness can also develop the inner movement to be aware of all the inner activity within your physical body and form and mind. So reversing the light of awareness to shine within to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension or sati sampajana is very important. So this sati sampajana is step 5. But you need the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, step 4, before step 5 become possible. Then for you to develop step 4, you need to constantly listen to the Dhamma, especially the first and second turning wisdom, born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Yeah. Then when you are able to silence your mind, to develop the meditation, to understand, then the third turning wisdom will also come to be. Okay, we move on to second part, part 2, 2.1. The three type of wisdom light. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the avarice, greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom lead to peace, harmony, love, happiness, and joy. This is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly. And it is a very good check for all cultivators. So this paragraph is the gem, is the most important. If you can contemplate, reflect, and check whenever you cultivate, this will keep you in focus. You will not deviate. So what I share here is very easy. First, detect your heedlessness. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, this is very easy. When you have mindfulness, you will have the ability to be aware. Because the slightest unhappiness, suffering or misery or stirring of the mind, you can feel it. That's why later on you cannot do. Because all this manifests as very, very fine, subtle suffering. And you can feel it. Because you can feel it, it cannot move. It cannot continue. Where you understand. So these are the pointer that I share with you all. And you all have to make use of it. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, means you are not meditating already. You don't have the wisdom. The evil roots are there. So what are the evil roots? Greed, hatred, and delusion. Root of all evil. They are there. Whereas you have the wisdom, your mind state becomes different. Whereas with wisdom, it leads to peace. No more agitation. Then there is harmony. There is love. There is happiness. And there is joy. So if your mind state throughout the day cannot be in this state, means you don't have the wisdom. You are not cultivating correctly. You still have a long way to go. Yeah. So this is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly. I use the word. And it is a very good check for all cultivators. So the checking is very simple. Yeah. Are you most of the time peaceful, aware, happy, with joy, silent? Yeah. Peaceful, tranquil in your mind state? And are you able to be at peace with harmony and understanding? So these are all the appropriate way to check your cultivation. If you have cultivated correctly, it will lead you to heedful living. That's why heedful living is so different, so beautiful. It's without the heedless thinking, the heedless mind state. So heedlessness is when you are not able to control your mind, when you are not able to develop the understanding of your mind. So this mind that is heedless do what it like. Yeah, it lacks spiritual faculty. So it has the mental hindrance. It thinks a lot. It's restless. It's full of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, sorrow, and lamentation. Then there is the sensual desire. You at times it develops boredom. lethargic mind, sleepiness of mind. So sloth and torpor, all these mental hindrances, they will take over and they will engulf your mind state. That's why heedless living is miserable, leads to suffering, leads to misery. The Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. Whereas heedful living, the heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Means you are destined for enlightenment. So heedful living means you are constantly aware, ever mindful. That's why your mind state is very peaceful, very calm, very tranquil, full of joy, happiness, and harmony. Then there is this inner peace, inner awareness, inner tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, clarity of mind. So all these are the characteristics of a trained mind, a heedful mind. So this is how you check and develop the meditation, okay? The Buddha reprimanded Ananda on the saying, see no evil, hear no evil, then you are peaceful. Because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind. So always remember that. Because your mind decides whether your mind has wisdom or no wisdom is where the difference is. That's why I always say the user of that mundane mind, that thought process. If the user have wisdom, then thought become wholesome, right thought. If the user is deluded, then thought become evil, wrong thought, negativity of mind state. So this is very easy to see. Eh? So the Buddha reprimanded Ananda because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind, whether you have wisdom or not. The world is the world and it's not a problem. You have the wisdom to confront its reality. But nobody can make you unhappy or miserable unless you allow yourself to be so via your own self-delusion. So we already gone through all this many times. Right? You have to reflect and always remember this. Why are you not happy, miserable, not peaceful? You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely your choice. Don't tell me you don't know how to choose. Can't you just choose to be happy? So this understanding is very important. When you understand this, you tell yourself, if I already understood the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, then it's very easy for me to choose. But I have this teaching. I choose not to become miserable. Then I follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. That's how you train. Means you avoid Dhammapada verse 1. You train yourself to be heedful, to be ever mindful, so that happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leave you. Means you train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, so that you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So these are all the understanding. When you understand, you will know how to act. You will know how to live your life. Then you know, will know how to do the appropriate, correct thing. Then you will not be deluded. You will not be heedless. You can never go back to the old way. And cultivation is as simple as that. And from there on, you will progress. You will transform. You will become noble ones, beautiful beings. After that, you can be a blessing to all. Okay, we move on. Eh? There are three types of wisdom. First, wisdom light, the light of prajna of language, is equivalent to our first turning wisdom, sutamaya panya. So, prajna of language means through hearing the teaching. Nowadays, we can read about it. Then we can have discussion, Dhamma discussion. So then you can also look it up on the internet. You can repeat the sharing or the talk through audio file and video file. So nowadays, first turning has become more easy. There are more ways to develop the first turning wisdom. You don't have to be there when the Buddha actually proclaimed the essential Dhamma, the Sutta. In the past, you have to, otherwise you had to wait for Ananda to repeat it. But nowadays, we have the books, we have the recording, the audio file, the video file. But the problem with all this is the words that come from the Buddha direct is very authentic. But what you read from the book depends on the author. And what you listen from the audio and video file depends on the speaker, the person who actually delivered it. So probability or deviation, like an authentic quality, they are all there. So there are pro and con. But if you have the understanding, you don't have to worry. You listen, you will understand. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. So don't be gullible. So first turning wisdom nowadays is a lot easier. The availability of technology has helped in many ways. So even Dhamma notes, Dhamma books, Dhamma material, audio file, video file, and even transcript and all those things, they are available, easily available. And you can listen to them. Like our Dhamma website, brotherteo.com, is very useful. It has its full range of repository of Dhamma material, which are very complete and very beautiful, very useful. It's very penetrative. You listen to them attentively. Then the second wisdom line is the light of prajna of contemplation illumination. So it's the same. This is equivalent to the second turning wisdom, which we call Chintamaya Panya, means wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the discourse of the Buddha or teaching of the Buddha. Then the third wisdom line is the light of prajna of characteristics of actuality. It's equivalent to the direct see, the actuality, seeing as they are. We call it the Bhavanamaya Panya. Then the next paragraph is very important. This one is the four circle. Return all external form or manifestation created by mind. Here, the mind means mundane mind, to mental consciousness. Then mental consciousness to the pure awareness, the true mind, to realize the Buddha nature, or the oneness nature, which is also the source of all things. So this is what meditation is all about. You look at the four circles, this four circle. First, we have this oneness nature, or the Buddha nature. So this is a nature. This is not a being. This is the source, Panlaitamianmu, original nature. Originally, it was already there. And then our true nature. There's a different name to describe all this, but they all point to the same thing. The source of all things, the oneness nature, the Buddha nature. That's why it's a nature, it's not a being, it's not an individual. Then this nature is very strange. Without a form and mind, it cannot come out. Nothing manifests. So it needs the karmic nature through the law of karma to manifest a form and mind. So once that form and mind come out, then this nature can actually arise, come to our existential world, a conditioned world. Take for example, this life, we are born as a human being. This form and mind is a vehicle and a tool for my nature to come. So once this nature come, if it know how to develop the meditation and it know how to silence the mundane mind, then it will realize the true mind. So the first thing to come out from that nature via the mundane mind is that true mind, that silent mind, that awareness nature. So this is the pure awareness, the silent mind. Yeah? Okay. So this is the pure awareness, the silent mind, and this is your true mind. So this is the first thing to come out from your nature. But it needs a form and mind. Without a form and mind, it cannot come out. So this form and mind, when you develop the meditation, you will understand clearly what that true mind is. That is the awareness nature. But it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But it's capable of the direct seeing, awakening. It's capable of silent observation to develop wisdom and understanding. That's why this pure awareness, the silent mind, or your true mind, is the meditative mind. This is the one that meditates and awakens. So later on, together with the triangle, the Trinity, then you will understand meditation clearly. Then from this true mind, that self-awareness nature, the mundane mind come to be. That's why this one move out. From that true mind, this mundane mind come to be. That's why from here, the true mind, which is silent, without word, without thought, nothing, without concept, the mundane mind manifests very fast. The words, the concept, the verbalization, everything arises. So what is this mundane mind? This is our five aggregate of form and mind. This is where the living being is. So the knower becomes the living being, the five aggregate of form and mind. Then this five aggregate of form and mind, which is a living being, become the traveler in space and time. We are karma. Due to karma, you continuously take birth. Born and die, born and die. That's why every life you come, one segment. Then next life, another segment. And all of this birth, you can take different birth. Within the 31 plane of existence, you can take any of this birth. But mainly they are within the six path. Liu Tao Lin Hui means you are either born within the Deva realm or heavenly realm within the Kamaloka, or you are born in the human realm, or you are born in any of the four woeful state, which is the Asura realm or the realm of the demons, then the animal realms. Then you have the hungry ghost or Pitta realm. Then you have the hell. The hell realm is a lot of deluded beings that suffer down there. So all these realms, they are possible. That's why Mahayana say, Liu Tao Lun Hui, that is the meaning. But the heavenly realm, the Tian Fa Jie, if you want to go beyond the Kama Loka, the sensual realm, you have to develop special mind state. They call it the jhana, the four jhana, form jhana. Then you can take birth above the any of the 16 Brahma world. Your lifespan is very long. Then beyond the 16 Brahma realm, you have the four Arupa realm, formless realm. And that one, they develop the fifth, sixth, seven, and eighth jhana, the formless jhana. Means they concentrate their mind and develop the infinite space absorption. So when they are able to experience the infinite space of consciousness, they develop the first Arupa Jhana, means the fifth jhana or the first formless jhana. Then from infinite space, it will go up to infinite consciousness. Then they reflect, contemplate, and they use that as an object of meditation. Then consciousness become infinite. They experience that. Yeah. Then after that, they will move on to the sphere of perception or neither perception or, oh sorry, the sphere of nothingness. Like there is nothing. Everything is empty. Okay. That formless rhyme is very steep. They live very long. Then finally it becomes more refined until the mind neither perceive or non-perceive. They call it the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. Means it's like they exist for very long. They neither perceive or non-perceive. And their mind becomes so quiet, so still. But it's in jhana, the jhanic state. So these are the other rhymes. But this one doesn't bring forth enlightenment. You will not realize nibbana. Except the beings that are born in the pure abode. There are five rhymes within the 16 Brahma rhyme, the pure abode, where these anagami are born, the third stage of sinhood. So that one, there are aryas there. But the others, you are not enlightened. When you are born up there, you live very long, but you will still fall slowly, slowly. So that is how the Buddhist teaching is developed and recorded. And according to Sakyamuni Buddha, there are a total of 31 possible plane of existence for living beings to take birth. So this mundane mind is very important. All of meditation is to understand this mundane mind, how it creates, how it manifests, and how it conditions living beings through delusion into suffering and misery. So when your true mind, silent mind, observe and see all this, it will develop the wisdom and the understanding. And that is how you meditate. You don't use the thought, but the thought cannot understand. The thought is egoic. Is incapable of awareness. That's why it cannot understand what is going on. Then this mundane mind has the senses, the physical senses, the five basic physical senses, and the brain, the sixth sender. Upon contact of the senses with the sense data and the mundane mind, or the consciousness that is trapped inside, it triggers on the respective sense of consciousness, like your seeing consciousness, your smell, your taste, your hearing, your tactile, and your thought consciousness. So this one, when they manifest, it created the external world of form, external phenomenal world. So this external phenomenal world is the external manifestation of mind, created via mental consciousness. And this is what the external form is all about, right? External form. So these are all external manifestation of mind. So you need to return all this creation from the mundane mind, means the external manifestation of mind, the external phenomenal world of consciousness and form. You have to cease all this and return. Because it's from there, the mundane mind, it arises through your perception, through your aggregates of mind. Then when you see them like real, but when you start to understand their universal characteristic, like I have taught you, learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then learn to see beyond form. Then form has no power over you. That's how the phenomenal world of form collapses in front of you. And you can return to the mundane mind. That's why you observe the mundane mind. Then you understand. It's from there everything comes. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness is the same. Your aggregates of mind. They are also impermanent with the universal characteristic. You attach and cling, one thing's your way, suffering comes to be. And because they are impermanent, it's non-self, empty, no reality. So all this will enable you to free your mind, not to be deceived by it, not to be entangled by it. So all this external form, external phenomenal world of consciousness, they will collapse. They will have no power over you. That's how you can develop the understanding to free the mind. And you will not be deceived, deluded. You will not grasp, you will not cling, you will not hold. Then you realize this is the mundane mind that is responsible for all this creation. Then when you cease that mundane mind, you realize your true nature, your true mind. Then when you continue to relax, maintain awareness, and let things be, then you will realize the cessation of form and mind that will lead you back to your Buddha nature, oneness nature, or source, the true nature, the unconditioned. Then you realize enlightenment or Nibbana. And Nibbana is a cessation of form and mind. So this process is very important. You have to understand how you come out. Then you will know how to return and cease the mind. That is what meditation is about. Meditation is to understand this process, how you manifest, and how from the Buddha nature, the first thing to come out with the form and mind is the true mind, away. Then from there, the mundane mind come out. Then from the mundane mind, the phenomenal world through your senses become like real. External phenomenal world of form and consciousness. So when you know how you create, you must know how to return through the meditation. So when you return, then you realize no more delusion, no more problem. Then when you stay with the true mind, you know how to live life, you know how to act, you know how to experience life to the fullest. Okay, from here, I will take you to the end, the Appendix 6. Appendix 6 is page 260-something. 26-something. Oh, 243, sorry. 24.
This one have to include maybe some...
Okay. Wow.
I guess so.
Jackpot, 255. So, you all can see, yeah? Can you all see the triangle? Can you all see the triangle? Huh? Ananda?
243.
Can see or not the triangle, the green triangle?
Yeah.
No, on the computer. Can you see on the computer? Okay, good. So now I will explain, then you understand. Appendix 6A, Trinity to understand cultivation. So our pure awareness, that come out from the oneness nature or the Buddha nature is represented as C, up there in the apex of the triangle. So from the essence of mind, this pure awareness is like your essence of mind. They came out to your oneness nature or your true nature or your original nature. And this one is the unconditioned. Means no word, no concept, nothing. It's not a being, nothing. And this one is beyond thought, beyond mind, and beyond time also. Then cannot be perceived or sensed. Well, there is nothing inside that. Then this is just pure awareness, the awareness nature, the silent mind, the stillness nature. So from there, you start to act. You start to live life. So if you go this way, which is the triangle, the slope, this direction, to the S down there. S is the senses. So this is where our form and mind is, the senses. So you look down here, the five aggregates of form and mind. So this is where the senses are. Mundane thinking mind, consciousness that arise through the sense basis. upon contact, they come to be. So the sense bases are with our physical body. So our mind is the mundane thinking mind and the conscious, and these two interact. So the five aggregate form and mind, they interact, and there is this law, dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, the dwelling. This is the law that governs all of mind, how we function as a human being. So for mundane living, we come out through this pure awareness. Yeah? We experience light through the senses. So this see, initially, the pure consciousness or awareness, create mundane living or experiences. If you straight away go to the senses, then the mundane consciousness come to be, the six type of respective consciousness come to be. And this one is mundane living, mundane experiences. So this is how most deluded beings live their life. Okay? Yeah. Whereas if you go the meditative way, it's different. You don't meditate with the mundane mind. You don't come direct from here and use the thought to meditate. If you do this, you cannot understand. You have to use this pure awareness, the true mind, the silent mind. This is what Hui Ning said, no thought. Wu nian. So from here, your pure awareness, your silent mind, your meditative mind, you use this to meditate. We are the direct seeing to see things as they are. With silent mind, we are the direct seeing or sati and pure awareness to see things as they are, to develop the understanding or the wisdom. So this is the awakening, first, second, and third turning wisdom. So when you develop this wisdom, born of right view, you straighten your view, you have yoniso manasikara. So when this wisdom is develop and it arise, is connected to the form and mind. See this arrow? This one is for noble living. This is noble living, no more mundane living. And this is how you live your life. Okay? So meditation is from the pure awareness, you use it to develop the awakening through the direct seeing, not through the thought. Not through the thinking process. This is how you develop them. Then I will move on. What is a trained mind? This is very important. A trained mind is always silent. Heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. So you check if your mind is not with all these characteristics, then you are not doing it correctly. Means your mind has not been trained yet. So if your mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within, then I congratulate you. I salute you. Means you are already trained. Your mind is already trained and you are destined for enlightenment. Yes. You will be heedful. The second characteristic is it has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the yonisok manasikara or wise attention at every moment of sense experience. So that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So this one you must have the initial wisdom, otherwise you cannot be in this state. Clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are. So this one is very important, leading to the initial wisdom. The third characteristic is it will listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to be peaceful and aware, it will just do that. That's why the trained mind is so different. Like the dog, you ask him to sit, sit. You ask him to go, he go. He will not go against you. Means you already trained. The next characteristic is you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble eightfold path leading to the heedfulness. Then the next point is it will become like a servant to you it will serve you well. Then the last one is, a trained mind is ever mindful and constantly meditative. Hence, it is the base from which wisdom will keep on arising. You will come to know your wisdom keep on arising. Okay? So I think with this, the untrained mind, of course, very easy. Huh? You can read yourself. Huh? Then how to train the mind. This appendix 6 is very good. Huh? The untrained mind is heedless. Huh? I continue a bit. It thinks a lot. You go and check your mind. If it thinks a lot, then you know it's heedless. And it reacts easily to sense experience and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. As per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. It's like a devil's workshop. And it will make you very evil. You have no control over it. It actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you misery and suffering. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. Deluded with wrong thought, it easily becomes angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful. Hence the suffering. It has no understanding of what is going on in life. It lacks wisdom because it is deluded. Then 6.3 is on how to train your mind. Yeah? This one I leave it to you. Yeah? Then we go back. Huh? 10 to 18 already. I think we have to stop. Huh? We stop at part 3 again. Okay. We stop at part 3. Huh? Page 94. Okay, good enough. So at least today we cover quite a lot. Eh? So we'll stop here. Then we can open up for Q&A, eh? Discussion. Okay. For those who are new, if you want to ask any question or report your meditation, you can just wave your hand. Wave your hand. There is a button where you can press. Or you can press the bagus sign also can. Then, in order to speak, you have to unmute your mic, then you speak direct. And then we will look up for you and you can come in and ask questions and report meditation. Okay, anybody? Anybody? I didn't see any sign, any hand wave. Yeah, I saw Tan Hui Lin. Hui Lin, are you there? Hui Lin?
Yes, I am.
Ah, so how are you during under MCO?
Quite okay.
Okay, huh?
Yeah, okay.
So that day, Hui Rong also came in. Then I asked Hui Rong to contact you and Anne, so that you won't know about our this Zoom conference. Is it the first time you're logging in, really?
No, I've been joining a few times already. Oh, just a matter okay. That I thought that Hari Raya you didn't open for talk, so I didn't go in.
Oh, okay. We are on even during Hari Raya. Yeah. Because MCO, Hari Raya also stay at home. So no different for us. So we all continue our class. But if you have something on during Raya or what, you can go ahead with your activity. So send my regards to Anne. Are you still in contact with Anne? Anne Chung? Anne Chung is here.
She has been joining every time. Just a
minute. Yeah, I used to see her. Yes. Anna. 你在吗? Anne Chung. Wow, she's so quiet. Didn't respond. Yesterday, the last Tuesday, Sunday, was it Sunday?
You joined, actually, you didn't show up the name.
Yeah. Oh, you mean Hui Rong?
No,
yeah, and the name is shown up.
Joined, but she didn't show up the name.
Show up. It's in down there. Below song. Below yours. Yours
today,
after
yes.
You is Kok Wai. Today, below song is En Chung. But I think she is very quiet. Or she cannot hear. Maybe. That day, Ananda and Jayanta came because Jayanta's birthday. So it was a Sunday, 31st. Wow, he brought so much food because people offered to him. And he had a great birthday. So many people wish him. And he has so much joy. And he really cashed out with the mother very well, this MCO. And Hui Rong also came Saturday. She came, she said it's a long time she hasn't come out and talked Dhamma. It was a very good discussion. So she came, I think, at about 2 p.m. Then she only left 5 something. 5:30 around there. Okay, anybody want to report any meditation or ask any question? Anybody? If you don't have them, you better share merits and transfer merit and we end, so that we can have the fellowship. Don't have? Okay. Then we will share merits. Akasata Chya Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamodhitwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyateyo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyateyo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyateyo Devo Satkalena Sasa Sampati Hetucha Pito Bhavatu Lokocha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Emina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay. Thank you. Then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the recording.